April 13th, 1989, Chapel Service, Student Preaching Week. The speaker for the day is Robin D. Fisher.
Jesus said, "Do not lay up treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." May our hearts be in worship in this hour together. Will you join me, please, for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the treasure that we have in you through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're grateful for this time together when we can hear one another, students, colleagues, peers, friends, preach to us the unsearchable riches of your word. May this be for each of us an hour of true worship. Attune our hearts to what you would have us to hear and to do and to become through everything that's said and done here. For we commit this hour to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our third and final speaker for this first student preaching week is a mountain man. Darrell Fisher was born in Asheville, grew up in Asheville and Weaverville, spent all of his life out there in those hills, until he went over to Chapel Hill to college at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, from which he graduated in 1985 with a degree in industrial relations. I thought that was a great degree for someone who's headed toward the pastorate to earn, industrial relations. You'll need that, Robin, as a pastor. He is married to Patricia, who is with us this morning, and we're delighted to have her. He's an ordained deacon and a Sunday school director and a first-year MDiv student at Southeastern. His sermon this morning is The Treasures of Trusting in God from Hosea chapter 14, if you want to begin finding that. It's in the Old Testament, for those of you who didn't know that. Robin Fisher, we hear you prayerfully and gladly this morning as you speak God's word to us, following the anthem.
And I'm very humbled to be here this morning, to stand before you. And I desire your prayers as I seek to represent God in this place. And this is a beautiful place. And you know, we find beauty in many different places and many different things. The flowers outside in the springtime are beautiful. The laughter of a child is a beautiful thing. At this time of the year, I'm so thankful that the end of another semester is a beautiful thing. We find beauty in many different things and places, but I think we could all agree that the love of God is a beautiful thing. Think, if you would, just for a minute of the love of God as a beautiful kingly crown. There are certain passages in the Bible which detail that love, which you could call crown jewels. Romans 8, 31 through 39 is a crown jewel passage. John 3, 16 is a crown jewel passage. But would it surprise you to hear that Hosea chapter 14 is a crown jewel passage? Hosea 14 is a message of hope in the midst of despair. A very, very brief summary of the book of Hosea. It deals with three things: the unfaithfulness of God's people, the pronouncement of wrath and judgment upon that people, and then a message of hope and reconciliation if they will again turn and repent and trust in God. So I want us to look at Hosea chapter 14 this morning. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands hath made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. God had very good reason to be angry with the people of Israel. Whenever they had faced a problem, verse 3 tells us that they had trusted in foreign powers, Assyria, or their own strength, war horses, or even their own man-made idols and gods. He had good reason to be angry. And those people would pay a heavy price for their misplaced trust. But then came the message of hope. I want to focus on just one brilliant facet of this crown jewel passage this morning. Verse 5 contains 8 of the most beautiful words in all of the Bible once we understand what they mean. Verse 5 says, God promises, I will be like the dew to Israel. Now, if we look at this passage, we have to understand its imagery to understand what it means. You are the salt of the earth. Now that means nothing to us if we don't know anything about the salt. And in the same way, we must understand something about the dew if we're to fully appreciate this promise of love. And as I have studied the dew, I have been confirmed that God's love is compassionate and everlasting and very real in our lives. Be assured, His love will not fail us in any situation if we will turn and trust in Him. So with God's help this morning, I want us to consider just for a few minutes the treasures of trusting in God. What are the characteristics of the dew? First of all, when does the dew come? It comes in the night. The dew comes in the dark times. God's love comes to us in the dark times of life. You may be going through a dark time right now. We fear the unknown, and the darkness is full of the unknown. Now, we might as well be honest and say that all of us can quote, we walk by faith and not by sight, but it is a whole lot harder to live by that than it is to quote that verse. It is not easy to walk by faith when we're seeking a position in ministry and it doesn't come. It is not easy to walk by faith when we look at that bank statement and it tells us in no uncertain terms that J. Paul Getty, we ain't. It's not easy to walk by faith when we wake up some mornings and ask, why are we here? But God has said that He will come as the dew in the dark times. You know, all of us are a little bit more like doubting Thomas than we'd like to admit. Thomas has gotten a bum rap down through the ages. We say that he's a doubter. But what did Thomas want? He He wanted the same thing that you and I do. We want to know what our future holds. We want to be able to reach out and touch our future, our finances. We want to be able to know everything's going to be all right. And that's what Thomas wanted. He wanted to see the risen Lord. He wanted to touch the scars. And I would say that most of us would have wanted the very same thing. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The old saying goes, never doubt in the dark what God has already shown you in the light. If we could just get a grasp on that statement, we don't have to stumble around in the dark, groping for the first door we come to and kick it in and go through on our own power. If we will wait on God, if we will trust in God, He will open doors for us. He will show us how to go through, and He will show us the light. Thank God the dew comes in the darkness. But the dew also comes in the still times. The dew comes when the wind doesn't blow. And I have experienced some still times in my pilgrimage with God when absolutely nothing seemed to be happening. Nothing good, nothing bad, nothing period. Just total stillness. And those times have frustrated me to no end, and I tend to question God in times like that. Father, why isn't anything happening? Why aren't people being changed by my ministry? Why am I not making any sort of difference in this world? Do something, anything through me, Lord. I tend to look for the winds of Pentecost. I tend to look for the thunder of God's voice. But you know, I think about it, and God also came to Elijah in a still, small voice. I tend to think that God is not blessing sometimes in the still, but He has promised that He would come and He would be like the dew, and the dew comes in the stillness. We don't have to doubt God in those times. We don't have to shun God in those times because He's there. And I really believe that sometimes God slows things down around us just so that we will be still and know that He is God. Just so that we will slow down and spend some quality time with Him. There was a popular song out a number of years ago. I'm sure most of you remember it. The title of it was "The Cat's in the Cradle." And it was the story of a father and his son. And the father loved his son very much. And he wanted the best for him. And so he spent a lot of time working and traveling so he could get his son the very best things in life. And as a result, he missed his son's first steps. He missed the chance to play catch with his son. Ultimately, he missed his son's childhood. And when that father was finally ready to spend time with his son was now grown and had no time to spend with him. What a sad story. I see it operating in reverse in the lives of too many Christians. We are sons and daughters who love our Heavenly Father very much. We want the best for Him. We want to do our best for Him. And that's good. He wants our service. But He also wants us. Too many times we run ourselves ragged, doing a million good things, but we forget the one who we're doing them for. He wants us. If I could get our community to do one thing, it would be to spend more time in the stillness with God, soaking up the stillness of a personal, quiet fellowship with Him. Corporate worship is good, and we don't do enough of it, but worship is also for the individual. We need to get alone with God, sing praises to Him, tell Him you love Him, get to know Him better. He is there in the stillness. He will come to us. We don't have to think that He is not blessing just because we're going through a still time, because He's promised. And the dew comes in the stillness. It comes in the darkness. It comes in the stillness. But where does the dew fall the heaviest? As I've thought about that, the dew falls the heaviest in the valley. You know, there are times in my life when I find myself mumbling to myself something to the effect that wouldn't it be nice if life was just one mountaintop experience after another? But you know, inevitably, whenever I find myself saying something like that, it's because I'm in the valley. And we know from personal experience that valleys are a part of life. I mean, let's face it, we wouldn't know what a mountaintop was if we didn't have a valley to look up from. And I think we here at Southeastern have a particular appreciation for the valleys of life. We've all been through a valley. I don't care where you are theologically. I don't care where you are politically. I've not seen any clear-cut winner from what we've been through. We've all been through a valley. Thank God the dew falls the heaviest in the valley. There is a doctor from my hometown. Several years ago, he received a phone call in the middle of the night. And the voice on the other end of the line had the very sad duty of telling that doctor that his son, his brother, and his nephew had all perished in a plane crash. And that doctor shared how his immediate instinctive reaction was to fall to his knees and say, "Oh God, never let me ask why." Now that man wasn't saying that it's wrong to ask why. What he was saying was, "God, I have never been through a darker, deeper valley in my life. I have never needed you more than I need you right now. I can't do this without you. Don't let my doubt come in and build a wall between us. Not now. Don't let my doubt come in and destroy my faith when I walk through the valley. Not now." And that same doctor testified just recently that although the loss had been a difficult one, since he had prayed that prayer that night, a peace had entered his heart that he could not describe. That man knew, just like David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Thank God the dew falls heaviest in the valley. Those are the characteristics of the dew, but what is the function of the dew? The dew brings refreshment and nourishment. The climate of Israel in Hosea's day and still is a much hotter and drier climate than we're used to. Were it not for the dew falling during the summer, no vegetation could live. I heard a story of some people who camped out in Israel, and they awoke the next morning to find that their tent and their bags were just soaked through and through because the dew had fallen so heavily, like a downpour of rain. Nothing can live without moisture. That's true for us, physically and spiritually. You may be here this morning as dry and parched as the desert sand spiritually, but God has promised refreshment and nourishment to you if you will do business with Him and trust Him. Revival in your world and in your community starts with you. Spiritual renewal in my world starts with me. A new commitment in your world starts with you. If we will trust in Him, He will come. He will refresh. He will nourish. He will revive. Can you hear the message that God is saying in this passage? He's saying, "Trust me. Not earthly powers, and I'll be with you in the dark times. Trust me, not your own strength, and I'll be with you in the still times. Trust me, not your own intellect or your own ingenuity or your own invention. Trust me, and I'll be there in the valley. I'll provide the refreshment and the nourishment that you need. If you will trust me." Bad times came in Hosea's day, and certainly they have come in our day and will continue to come. But we have a promise that He won't forsake us, that He will come and provide us with what we need. We don't have to worry about it. As I've studied the dew, I am confirmed even more of the beautiful and compassionate nature of the love of God. Be assured Be assured that His love will not, cannot fail you in any situation if you will only trust in Him. What's the message of this passage? We don't have to worry about the dark times. We don't have to worry about the still times. We don't have to worry about the valleys. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because God is already there. And those are the treasures of trusting in God. May we stand for the benediction. Our Father, we live in many times troubled and difficult times for all of us. All of us here experience more dark times, more stillness than any of us would like. But it's refreshing to know that You've promised that You will be like the dew to Israel, that You will give us the beauty and purity of the lily, the strength and the fragrance of the cedars of Lebanon, the endurance of the olive tree. It is so good to know that You will be like the dew to Israel. As we go from this place, Father, help us to claim that promise and to live in the light of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.